Tokyo Podcast Episode Number 40.
This week we continue our musical month with Seiyu Lee, who has recorded a new song on YouTube every day for the past 365 days. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Tokyo Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Joe, and I am happy to say that all the computer problems that I had last week are all taken care of. I was pleasantly surprised that the Apple Store in Ginza, which originally had told me that it would take a week and a half to fix my computer, called me 3 days later and told me that everything was repaired. They had to replace the logic board, the heat sink, and what was kind of surprising though, a nice surprise, was that they also replaced the battery on my computer as well. As you know, if you have these lithium-ion batteries, over time, they slowly start to hold less and less charge. And my battery was holding about a 75% charge. Still, you know, perfectly fine for what I'm using it for, because most of the time I leave it plugged in at home anyways. But I wasn't getting the 7 hours that it originally got. It would get maybe about 4 or 5, you know, which is fine for me. But it was kind of nice to see when I got the thing back that Apple had gone ahead and replaced the battery for me and put in a brand new battery. So that was kind of cool. So anyways, overall, very positive experience with the Apple Store at Ginza. And I am now waiting patiently for Apple to release the new iMacs so I can upgrade this system completely. My next guest is upcoming singer-songwriter Seiyu Lee, who has won numerous awards for her singing and songwriting, and last year started an interesting YouTube project where she would sing a new song every day for 365 days. As of this recording, she's at number 327, and she joins me today to talk about her YouTube channel, her upcoming bilingual Japanese-English album, and the special event she has planned for the 365th day. Hey Seiyu Lee, welcome to Tokyo Podcast.
Hello!
Now, for the people who aren't aware of your channel, can you give us a quick background on your musical background, how you got started?
Basically, I moved to Japan 4 years ago, but before that I was in New Zealand and I started the whole singer-songwriter thing back there. But I was quite a late starter, actually. I didn't start singing until I graduated from university. And guitar and everything like that too. And I was about to start a career in business and everything. I'd studied international business and I was going to go down that road. But then I thought, oh, something's not quite right here. I'm not passionate about business at all. And that's when I felt like I should at least give it a go, something new. And my mom really encouraged me actually to start singing and pursue music. So I thought, well, that's a bit of a risk, but I'll give it a go. And every year, like, I've got more and more serious about it, I guess. Like, when I first started it, I was really not sure about it. You know, how am I ever going to make a living out of this? And what am I doing? I'm starting so late. This is stupid, you know, that kind of thing. But the more I stepped into it, the more I realized, yeah, I need to do this, and I got more serious about it. So 4 years ago, that's when I decided, right, I want to go to Japan, you know, back to my roots, and I believe I've got something I can offer the Japanese people. And that's why I decided to come to Japan and really seriously start pursuing a career as a singer-songwriter here.
Were you always into music? Because I noticed a lot of the comments on your YouTube channel, people are very impressed with your voice. And you've won some awards for your singing.
Mm.
Were you always a musician? Were you always singing?
Well, I was always a musician, but not a singer. I started the piano when I was really young. And I also played the drums in high school in a few bands. And I kind of picked up the guitar every now and then when I was in high school, but never really seriously. I was always one of those students where the teachers would be like, oh, you've got so much talent, but you never practice. And I was always getting told off. And I seriously just never practiced. I mean, I'll go to the lessons and that's kind of when I'd practice. So I was never really that seriously into it. And then with singing, I hated my voice, absolutely. And I hated singing because I hated my voice so much. And I never wanted to sing in front of people. So I would always, you know, sing very quietly if anyone else is like singing to the radio, that kind of thing. But I just really felt this strange kind of like destiny with it, like the sense of call that I felt like I needed to start. And that was when I finished university. And I think for 1 year I actually came to Japan as a like an exchange student. I got like the Monbisho scholarship thing. So right. I came as a, you know, New Zealand exchange student. And, you know, that's when I met the whole karaoke thing. And I realized, oh, I think I actually really like singing. And I remember, you know, I don't remember saying this, but a lot of my friends would say that I would often say, you know, wouldn't it be great if you could make a living out of singing? Like, I'd love to be able to do that. And I don't remember saying this, but obviously that's kind of when I, you know, it was in me that I liked singing and I enjoyed it, but I was so ashamed of my voice and way too embarrassed to ever sing in front of people. But I figured, okay, well, I don't want to live my life with any regrets, so I've got to give it a go at least. So that's when I started pursuing it. And I mean, I remember for the first 3 years of, you know, singing, I really struggled with it. I often used to cry about my voice, thinking, you know, if I feel such a strong sense of call to singing, why do I hate my voice so much? You know, and I really thought I was a terrible singer. And I think I actually was. But, you know, I guess I got more and more confident as time went on. And, you know, people just really encouraged me. And every year I got more and more comfortable with it. And it's only really in the recent years, actually, and that I've started to get really comfortable with my voice and gone, oh, actually, yeah, I could do this, you know. So it was actually a real battle. So I definitely wasn't a singer naturally, I don't think. I never kind of sung along all day long like a lot of, you know, singers you'd imagine would, you know.
Right.
It was more like I made the decision to start, so I started to practice, and it was very intentional. It didn't feel like it came naturally, although now it seems like it's a natural thing. But
well, watching your videos, I mean, I wouldn't have guessed that at all. You seem quite comfortable and quite natural in front of them. Like, what was it about your early days about singing that you didn't like?
I would cringe every time I would hear myself sing. I didn't like my voice. And also,
was it your weird Kiwi accent? No, just kidding.
Maybe. No, I think it was a lot to do with the fact that possibly I had a good ear, you know, and so I could tell when I was slightly off pitch, and I could hear what was going wrong, but I didn't know how to correct it. And that's what was so frustrating, because I guess your body's an instrument and you have to fine tune your instrument. And because I hadn't sung all my life, I didn't quite know how to work my body as an instrument. So I'd hear all these things going wrong and then not be able to correct it. And it would be so frustrating because I knew how I wanted it to sound and I couldn't get that sound. You know what I mean?
Wow, interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah. Huh. But I knew at the same time though that, well, at least I've got a good ear. At least I can hear these things going wrong, because a lot of people can't even hear it. And if you can't hear it, you're a long way off to getting better, you know, because you don't know what to correct. So
welcome to the world of karaoke.
Well, that gave me hope. You know, I thought, okay, well, at least I can hear these things going wrong, so that means I can fix them. So I kind of just trusted the fact that, okay, you know, just because I can't sing like totally in good pitch, it doesn't mean that I've got no potential. Hmm. So that was one thing that kept me going.
So when you released your EP, was it this first one called April Fool?
Yes.
And you traveled through Europe and Japan with it. What was that like, singing in front of a large group all of a sudden?
Well, I did build up to it, though. It wasn't large all of a sudden. I started doing, you know, little open mic nights in New Zealand where, you know, you just have your friends come along and it might be like 15, 20 people. You know, started off like that.
Right.
And then going, you know, working my way up more and more. The thing is, though, like, the crazy thing is I think it's actually more scary singing to less people. Even now, like I've done, you know, backing chorus for major artists in Japan and I've sung it like Yokohama Arena and, you know, in front of like, you know, 10,000 people. And right. That's almost not scary at all.
I feel
mostly, at home on massive stages like that.
Right.
It's actually the smaller ones where you can see them
close.
You can see every single person's reaction and you can, you know, you could hear a pin drop. Like, it's that kind of environment I think is more scary because everyone's so much closer to you and, you know, there's just kind of like this no wall between you and the audience, whereas like a massive stage, there's a huge gap really, you know.
The
closest audience is still quite far away from you. So
right.
It almost just feels like you and this massive crowd, whereas with a smaller audience, it's like you and these individual people that you can really see and really connect with. So I still find that more scary now.
Right. And when did you get into songwriting?
I got into songwriting a few years ago. Not long ago, though. It was when I, you know, started the whole singing thing in New Zealand. And then, like, maybe a year or two after that, I started thinking, okay, maybe I'll try writing songs of my own. So just a little by little. And then it was the mini album, April Fool. Was pretty much not long after that. I kind of just threw myself into that, really. As soon as I started writing songs, I was like, right, I've got to make an EP.
Where did the idea for this YouTube channel come from? Your YouTube channel is very interesting in that you decided to post a new song every day for a year. And not only is that remarkable that you're able to do that, but I mean, I think anybody trying to do anything every day for a year is difficult. Where did this idea come from?
Well, it was after the 311, and I kind of thought I wanted to inspire people and I wanted to do something different and I also wanted to challenge myself. You know, and I thought, okay, maybe it's really important to say that you're going to do something and actually stick with it rather than, you know, consequently you end up having done 365 videos and then going, oh, look, I ended up doing this. Rather than that, like saying it right from the beginning, saying, you know, I'm going to do this. And then people will be like, really? Is she really going to do it? And then actually, you know, holding yourself to your word. Like I thought that kind of value, like, in this day and age is very important because it's so easy to say you're going to do something and then you don't, you know? And I find that, you know, I can be very lazy and I always have good intentions, but unfortunately good intentions are just not enough. And I could see that with my own music career, you know, there's so many different things that I had planned to do and then I always mean to, but everyday life just gets so busy, so many distractions. And then, you know, it's been 1 year and you're like, oh, look what I've accomplished, nothing, you know?
Right.
It often feels like that. So I thought, right, I'm just going to have to challenge myself. And also, like, the timing with the 311 thing, I thought it would be cool. You know, there'll be so many people that I thought would be inspired and encouraged by someone that is actually putting out something there every day, regardless of how they're obviously going to be feeling, you know, like, just the importance of that. And
how did you decide on what to sing? Like, originally, did you think you're going to sing all your own original songs or were you going to do covers or what was the idea behind it?
Oh, the idea was mainly covers. I mean, I've got original songs, but obviously not 365 original songs. And the thing is, like, you know, I'm not even famous or anything yet, so no one's going to be...
Don't worry, after this show, you will be.
But, you know, like, no one was going to be, like, searching up for my original songs, right?
Right.
So the way to get to meet a lot of people through YouTube, through the internet, was covers, really, because
right.
a lot of people will, you know, look for covers on YouTube, and then they will find media, and that's a way to get to meet a lot of people. So the idea was mainly covers, and... Also, covers was a good, you know, discipline for me too, because it really stretches you having to learn a song every day. And also, to be honest, when I first came to Japan, I didn't really like a lot of J-pop. I have to be honest. But the thing is, I was torn between this like need of wanting to really reach Japanese people. Yet I didn't like a lot of the J-pop music.
What? And you're not like, a fan of AKB48? Wow, sugoi.
No, no comment. But, you know, I thought, okay, I really need to understand J-pop more, and also writing lyrics in Japanese. I was a shocker. Like, I'm okay with English, but in Japanese, I found it very difficult. So that was one way to really get to understand J-pop music and, you know, how to put lyrics onto the melody, things like that, because it's so different to English, how it works. So it was a good way to do a lot of covers and just basically learn good songwriting skills. And
that's interesting, actually. I never thought about that. You had to learn. Did you memorize all these songs every day, or were you reading it off?
No way.
Okay, because I never really thought about that.
No. I mean, if I had to do that, that would be a full-time
but
job.
But still, even to be able to, you know, find the lyrics, to read it, sing it every day is quite a challenge, isn't it? Was it harder than you anticipated?
Sometimes, and then sometimes easier than I thought, you know? Basically, the times that it ends up being harder than I thought it would be like when I have technical problems or stuff like that, like the computer just, you know, going wrong and just lots of problems, you know, that I didn't anticipate for. So you think that you're going to be able to do it in this time frame, which ends up taking twice as long. And
right.
It's those kinds of things more than anything. And in the beginning, I have to say a lot of the J-pop songs were a lot harder than they are now, because there's a certain way of, you know, putting, like, phrasing the words into the melody. And because my DNA was so, you know, like English songs,
right.
To me, although Japanese was my first language, I hadn't ever really sung in Japanese. That felt very foreign to me. So now, though, like coming towards the end, I can kind of just feel it now, like how the words would get placed onto the melody. And I find I'm so much quicker at learning new songs that are in Japanese than before. So in the beginning, like, that was a little bit of a struggle. And also J-pop melody is so different. Like, they don't quite go exactly where you think they're going to go from a person that's used to, you know, Western music.
Right.
So I was like, what? What's this melody? And, you know, the chord progressions are so different, a lot busier. So things like that were a little bit difficult because a lot of the music was totally unpredictable to what I was used to.
Yeah, that's interesting. We should mention that you do sing in some of the videos in Japanese and some of them videos are in English.
Yeah.
Do you also write your original songs in Japanese as well?
Yeah, I do both now. Yeah.
And you've just recently recorded your first video, right? Your first music mm-hmm. video. Mm. And the title is Okaeri.
Yes.
And that's all in Japanese, correct?
Yeah, the video was basically made with like a friend of a friend. They've got a filming company and they wanted some experience with, you know, making a new music video. So we got to meet and, you know, I wanted to make a new music video too. So that's kind of how we all got together with this. And yeah, we only had like one day to do it in a friend's house. So we had to do it very quickly. But
tell us about the song. Is this an original song that you wrote?
Yes, it's an original that I wrote. And Okaeri, which means, you know, welcome home. You know, it's something you say when someone comes back to your house, to your home. And it's basically about that. There's lots of different ways that you could interpret it. You may be waiting for, you know, your loved one that's left you and you're wondering when they're going to come back to you. Or it could be like, you know, a mother and son relationship where the son's like taken off and like the whole prodigal son kind of thing, you know.
Right.
When are you going to come back home to me? That kind of thing. That's where it was all inspired from. And so it's basically saying I'm waiting till the day that you will come back home to me. So it's kind of a sad but at the same time positive kind of a yearning song.
Is it kind of could be interpreted as you coming back to Japan?
I'd never thought of that. No, I'd never thought of that. But Maybe, yes.
That's what I thought when I first saw it, because I don't really speak a lot of Japanese, so I couldn't understand what you're singing, but that's right. That's what I thought it was about, is that, hey, I'm coming back to Japan, here I am.
Ah, I see. In that case, I should be saying tadaima, right?
Right. But you have something special for us. You're going to sing a portion of your song for the Tokyo Podcast audience, correct?
Sure, I can do. Yes. Okay, here we go. Natsukashii melody, kuchibiru bokidasu.
But you're one of those people that go to karaoke and it's like, oh, I'm all shy, I can't sing, and then belts out an awesome song like that. Everyone else is like, well, I guess we'll just call it a night. Siri's up singing now, forget it.
That's funny.
Actually, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your channel. In your videos, you did some covers of some J-pop, and then you also had some themes, right? I noticed that you did some... was it movie covers for a while there?
Yeah,
and now you're into anime, is that right?
Yes, correct.
So tell me about the different themes that you're doing. Because, I mean, obviously with 365 songs, it's hard to kind of think of a new song to do every day, right?
Mm-mm. Yeah, some of the other series that I've done was a Mother's Day song series. So songs to do with, you know, like, I love you, mom, type of songs.
Right.
What's another series I've done?
You did the movie ones, right? I really like the ones from the 80s, like the movie 80 ones. Those are my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, the movie ones were great because it was totally like the old classics that, you know, you just listen to and go, oh, that's right.
Right.
I remember how good the song was. You know, so that was fun. And that was really easy for me to do because they were mostly English songs that I already knew. So that was cool.
Did you get requests from fans to do certain songs?
Yeah. I get tons of requests.
Like, really?
Seriously, every day I get requests. And there's actually going to be no way I'm going to be able to answer to all the requests within the time frame that I have left, because I get so many. Like, seriously, like, each person will be, you know, they feel totally fine about requesting like 10, 20 songs. It's like, seriously, you think I'm actually going to be able to do this? And I get like so many of them every day. And basically, I've got an Excel spreadsheet of all the requests, who requested them, what songs have been requested, by what medium, because I get requests from, you know, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, blog, everything.
Wow.
So trying to keep a track of all the requests that I get from all the SNS mediums,
right?
You know, it's that in itself is a lot of work. It's right. Very time consuming, but I do want to do my best at trying to, you know, really answer to people's requests. So I'm trying to be fair and not answer, you know, one person's request like do 10 songs that they've requested or whatever, but try and cover, you know, like maybe one song each from all these different people, and also pick ones that a lot of other people are going to be able to really enjoy as well, because I do get a lot of very obscure requests.
Really?
And yeah, and I mean, most of the songs I get requested, actually, I don't even know what they are. I've never heard of them, never heard of the artists. So, I mean, it's kind of cool though, because I get to, you know a lot of songs that I would have never heard of otherwise.
Right.
But also there are some songs that are just like, oh my gosh, like I never even knew this artist existed. And, you know, you look at the YouTube count, like hit numbers, and obviously a lot of people probably don't know them either, you know? Right. So, it's crazy. You get ones like that all the way up to, you know, the really, really, mainstream pop stuff that everyone would know. So, a huge variety of requests I get. I've had requests of songs in other languages, like French, Spanish, Italian.
Wow. Can you do that?
Well, I've tried covering K-pop. So I've done some songs in Korean, and that in itself was hard enough.
Right.
So I would like to do some foreign songs, but I think I'll save that more for after the 365-day challenge, because every day, like, time is a real issue here. You know, I've got to really push through them as quick as I can. And to master a song in a foreign language, I think that would take some time.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so you, as of this recording, you are at number 327. Mm-hmm. And you are set to hit number 365 on July 29th. And I understand you have a special gig or a special performance planned in Tokyo on that day.
Mm-mm.
Can you tell my audience about what's going to happen in Tokyo on July 29th?
Yes, so July 29th will be the last day of my 365-day challenge, which will be celebrated at a live house called Tsukimiru Kimi Omou, which means I look at the moon and think of you, which is a funny, funny name for a live house. But anyway, that's in Aoyama. It's pretty central Tokyo. And it's going to kick off at 7 p.m. sharp. Doors will probably open at 6 p.m., I think. And so I'm taking bookings already. If, you know, you want to look at my YouTube or like Facebook artist page, or my blog, there's information pretty much anywhere, I think. And it will have a link to where you can book in advance.
If people want to book this, they can go through your Facebook page. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, the booking actually needs to be done through the venue. However, all the details that you need to know about is in my Facebook fan page. Also, it's in my blog as well, but the Facebook one is probably better because you can just directly message me and say, hey, I can't read Japanese, but I want to come. Right. Can you book for me? Because the actual, the venue homepage is only in Japanese, unfortunately.
Right.
So for those who cannot read Japanese, they can, you know, contact me. So Facebook page is obviously under Sayuli, S-A-Y-U-L-E. You can find me.
Your Facebook page is facebook.com/sayulimusic. Okay. And if you can read the Nihongo, try moonromantic.com, look under schedule, and you will see the gig that's available on the 29th.
Yeah, cool.
Sounds exciting. Sounds like a lot of fun. I bet you're going to have a lot of people that come out. I think everyone's curious to see what you're going to do on the 365.
Yeah. And I'll be announcing my next challenge, hopefully.
Do you want to give any hints right now as to what you're going to do after the 365 challenge is over?
Well, I am actually...
Is it going to be a 7:30 challenge?
No. I'm actually thinking of a completely new challenge right now. I'm just trying to figure out, like, in terms of time frame, if it is possible to carry it on straight after the 365 or not. So I'm in the middle of actually organizing it all. So I can't give away too much right now. However, in terms of just general stuff, I will be on YouTube a lot because that's basically where I've met all my fans. It's very exciting. So I'll be uploading lots of videos. Just not, you know, every day a song kind of thing. I'll be doing lots of video blogs as well, just more variety. And I want to keep it very interesting. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of exciting stuff that's happening.
Cool. Can't wait to see it. Well, if people want to find out more information about your music, they can check out your Facebook page at facebook.com/sayulimusic or visit your actual website. What is your website?
It's sayuli.com.
Sayuli.com. Mm. Awesome. Thanks, Sayuli. I'm looking forward to seeing your concert on July 29th. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks to Sayuli for coming on the show. If you are interested in checking out her live performance, which is on July 29th, you can do so by visiting her Facebook page at facebook.com/sayulimusic, where not only will she be singing from her latest CD, she will also be announcing her new 365-day challenge. I'm very curious to find out what her next challenge is because, you know, most people set a challenge of 2 or 3 weeks, 3 months, but Sayuli seems to set these massive annual challenges. So I'm really curious to find out what her next 365-day challenge is. Maybe I'll have her back on the show in a year from now to find out how it went. But definitely check out her website at facebook.com/sayulimusic. Also check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/tokyopodcast, where I've been posting photos of all my trips around Tokyo. I'm an active user of Instagram, so actually if you're on Instagram as well, look me up at Tokyo Podcast. And if you want to be on the show or you got a comment or feedback, visit me on Twitter at Tokyo Podcast as well. I am all over the social networks. Does that make me cool?
No.
Anyways, that's it. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Anthony Joe, and talk to you next week. Next week, actually, we will conclude our musical month with an interview with a jazz man. I don't know anything about jazz, but this guy does, and he has visited many of the cool, really cool jazz clubs around Tokyo. And so what we've done for this interview is we've gone on location. I've taken the Tokyo Podcast studio, stuffed it into my backpack, and we went down to a really cool jazz club down in Shinjuku, and I'll be bringing you a very interesting interview from there all about jazz in Tokyo. So check that out next week. Thanks for listening. I'm Anthony Joe, and bye-bye.